This is the third day of the October 2009 7-day retreat in Springwater. There's several very good questions last night in meetings I'd like to go into, but I can't remember the last one. But maybe it'll come. And all of the questions centered around one subject or one object. The one object or the one subject that thought always seems to center around, if it's observed closely, objectively, not what I should be thinking, always circling around this notion of a me, a self, a separate and distinct entity. Someone with something to hold on to. Protect, defend, to divide and conquer. We talked in the group meeting yesterday to compete, to be better than. To be devastated to learn that one's not better than someone else? Maybe not. Some people were saying it could be taken very lightly, the coming and going of this competition. Just an incentive to run faster or play better. But we don't have to take anything on face value. Or take what thought tells us on face value. Say, well, I'm not really all that competitive, or I'm not that much, I'm a humble person, or I'm not a me person. It's just interesting to watch what's actually going on. And there doesn't have to be a lot of me in that. Watching the me is not cultivating that field. Watching. We don't have to protect the images that have been created, that I'm this or that. There's a lot of freedom in just seeing what's going on. Before getting further into that question, there was a nice, there's something always nice about the sitting before a talk. It's quiet. Again today, the gentle breezes, the warm sun. It's not again, it's here now. But sitting in this almost drowsy sun, there's a picture, but an actual melody. And a little video came to mind from a television commercial. very, very sweet song is the overlay. I don't know if that's the right word, but the background music. Kind of a blues singer singing about worries, but in a very gentle way, kind of a, like waves lapping at the shore. Worry, worry, worry. I can't come up with a melody. And the star of the commercial is a kind of a very cute dog, furry. And he's trying to, one gathers fairly quickly, there's no narrative. But he's trying to find a place to put his bone. And he keeps it, at first he just kind of keeps it tucked into his dog bed. And then wakes up in the middle of the night, and that's not working. So he, and the song keeps going, worry, worry, worry. So he takes it out into the yard and buries it very deep, in a good deep hole. I don't know how they get the dog to do all these things. It's wonderful. It's just an expression, so serious, so somber. And he goes back to his bed, but no, that's not enough. So he goes back out, digs it up again, vigorously, and takes it on a trip. He goes into the, he hops on a bus or a subway or something. Can't remember exactly. And then gets off and takes it to a bank. And they help him at the bank, and they put it in the safe deposit box, and he gets back on the bus and goes home, and gets so much into this 1 minute commercial. And still the song playing, worry, worry, worry. But that's not working. So he goes back to the bank, and looking more worried, more serious, and gets the bone out and brings it back home. And at the end of the commercial, he's just lying in his bed with his bone. And the implication is that they have some logo come over him, that if he had such and such an insurance company, then he wouldn't have to worry. But I think that what's so grabbing about that is that that's the way it really is seen here, that these little worries that they kind of carry along with a nice little song in the background, and there's a strategy, and that strategy doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. There's more worry. It is a comedy. Somebody said yesterday, depending on one's perspective. But when you can't sleep at night and you have to get up and do something about this, it doesn't feel as comical. And it didn't imply at the end of the commercial, but I wonder. I don't want to impose this, but maybe the dog just stopped worrying. He'd gone through everything he could. And he got tired of it. So I wonder, when there is worrying, not so much about, well, it is about what I have, what I've accumulated, not necessarily on a material level, but a psychological level. My accomplishments, my my spiritual accomplishments, my growth as a person, my character. I read something very interesting recently about the word character. It used to be very, very, well, still is, very, very strong for some people to have a good character or to model oneself after somebody of good character. But when people have studied this, it's like psychologists or psychiatrists in a university setting, they can't find that thing called character. And that people respond differently in different circumstances. So when a leader is on television addressing the nation or the Congress, he can look very appropriate to the situation. But in a different circumstance, totally different reactions. So there's not this continuity, as far as anyone can discover, of character. We project onto ourselves and onto others certain traits, characteristics, and we expect that to be consistent. This is one of the questions that came up last night. Well, what about people who give talks and hold meetings, who we look up to as being very present? And then we hear that, well, it's not always that way. Sometimes that person gets crabby, tired, ornery, worried. Upset. And then what? Is that image shattered? And is that what I'm clinging to? Or is that what I'm here for? To find something I can believe in that's for sure, 100% all of the time. But every information, every informing event, every sense indicates that for people, that life isn't consistent. It's changing. Circumstances change, and out of who knows what reasons, so many reasons. One Zen teacher called it the 10,000 things. All of these threads that come together in this moment. Create circumstances. Give way to reactions. And our ideal, or our ideas of consistency are blown away. So it's not very sure ground that we walk on. If that if there's that necessity to have some core belief that things are going to go in a certain direction. And yet, I'm just looking at this at this moment. There is a certain dependability. A lot of people lately have been using the word mature. There's some hesitancy around that here, but there has been noticed in people an ability to not stick, or an inability to stick with reactions. Yeah, the brow furrows, the storms come. But there's an ease in moving on, letting go. So what changes for people where there isn't this grasping? Is it the people that change? Or does awareness when I say do the work, it's not really work. Very careful with this, and we'll go slowly. What changes? What comes to mind is when there is attention, when there is awareness, and it's not blocked out, run away from, clouded over, then there is awareness. That sounds too simplistic. But it is. I don't really know what else you could say. And what allows this awareness to flourish, to flower, is awareness. Being here. In one of the meetings last night, we talked about what a radical thing this is. Someone was talking about all of the history, all of the genetic heritage, the human history of war and of conflict and of me concern expressed so many different ways. And of this personal history. Of our cultural heritage. Of conflict. Striving. So it is a very radical thing to sit quietly. And to simply be here. Yes, that was the third question. What is it to simply be here? So we're going 2 to 3. And why is it so difficult? It's not difficult right now. Can't speak for anyone else. That's not the sense. It's wonderfully quiet, even in a room full of people. And the awareness doesn't pick and choose. It doesn't say, I'll stop here with this person. There's no focus. I'll reveal this or that. There's no personality. And awareness is just a word. But something opens. It happens. It's amazing. It happens. And maybe at first it's a little frightening, like, where are my bearings? Will I get lost in this? I think that would be great, actually. To get lost in the present moment. And then in the present moment in the present moment. What's lost? The worries. The anxieties. Feelings of separation, apartness. Discomfort. So I've touched on the two of the questions, the difficulty of being here, and then wondering why, if there's anybody in this world who's 100% consistent, in their enlightenment or in their spirituality or their being here, I don't know. I say I don't care. What's really important is this moment here. Maybe important is not quite the right word, but what's really interesting not interesting in an intellectual sense, about writing an essay or making an analysis, but just interesting. I've never stopped here. Like a junction in the road. We've never been to this junction. I always loved Dogen's notion of being time, this junction here, so unique, so complete. Without time, so circling back to this, what I think is a really important question. But this, I don't want to say important to keep. keep as a question, not to take other people's words. Because I remember last year, somebody used to come to me very often and say, what is, I'll say the question first. We'll just say it is, what is this me? And this person would come to me and say, what is this emphasis in Buddhism? Not that this is a Buddhist center, but he ascribed this. What is this emphasis? He called it Buddhist propaganda about the non-existence of the me. There's a real, let's say, effort here, or an awareness, to not promulgate a doctrine of the no me. Who needs one more belief? Idea, concept. We're rich in concepts. But it's an interesting thing to explore. Perhaps because it is so much the central fascination. The thing that we really like to think about. Or maybe we don't like it so much, but we do. Feel compelled to think about, how am I doing? How do I compare with the others? Do people like me? What's my status? And it's the source of so much conflict within and without. The popular expression, beating oneself up, beating somebody else up or beating oneself up, because I'm not what I'm supposed to be, I'm not good enough, I haven't achieved enough. And this me has to be defended. We said yesterday, I become the food that I put out, the orange juice or the main course or the soup. If I write something and someone criticizes it, they're attacking me. Not necessarily, though. It's amazing. It doesn't have to play out that way. So part of the question was, there is this body. There are the thoughts here. Maybe some aches. And this is all happening here. It's not happening for you. So isn't that evidence, incontrovertible evidence that there is a me? And it's evidence that there is a body, that there is aching. Or not aching. Talking or listening, thinking, breathing. But if thought is quiet, There isn't this activity of better or worse, good or bad, or even you or me. What's actually going on? What's factually going on? Where's that me at that moment when there isn't the thinking? And not to jump to say, oh, okay, those know me, heck with it. But to really, I wouldn't take anything on anyone's say-so. That's to me the true marvel of meditative work. Everything can be tested, looked at here. We're not dependent on anything, anyone, any doctrine. And no right or wrong answer. Actually, no answer to cling to. What thought ascribes as true at one moment may be seen in a totally different light in another moment. And not to say, well, this is what I saw before, so this is what I have to cling to. It's right here. This is the dynamic of meeting together. That we don't have to superimpose anything on each other. We learn together, expose together. All of the movements, all of the coarse movements and the subtle movements, the mechanical movements of what we're calling this me. Trying to hold my position. To keep my territory, my turf, my image intact. Although it's not the same image from one day to the next or one hour to the next, but there's something that says protect, protect, worry, like that song that just plays in the background. Worry. Worry, worry, worry. And at some moment, and I say this does happen, especially happens when there's some quiet. There's a finer listening possible that hears the song or the suggestion to worry, to defend, and in the hearing, this doesn't have to go on. Not to say that what's heard is right or wrong. It just, in the spaciousness, there's no grabbing on. There doesn't need to be a grabbing on. If there is a grabbing on, then that's seen, and that's allowed, and it doesn't have that power. Look at that. It's amazing. Look at the clinging. So this whole movement of me can be taken very lightly. What is this? Dancing around, causing mischief, congratulating itself. Is it real? I don't know. But it's really wonderful to look. And not have to conclude. And what's coming up is that it might be possible to touch some of these worries, these angers, these frustrations. Without being heavy-handed, very, very lightly, delicately, turning this stuff over, learning in a new way, not learning to be a better person or to avoid this or to cultivate that, but just learning what's here. So we're not the machine. The automatic response, the angry outburst. In Buddhism, There's mention of something called a true nature. We don't have to make another concept out of that, but there can be some listening, awareing, some spaciousness. That allows everything to be as it is. Maybe even the word allows is excessive. Everything is as it is. This true nature is not my possession. It's letting go. Or it's already been let go. It was never held onto in the first place. Here. Unbounded. Deeply silent, still. And wondrous. I'll end the talk here.